Hello and welcome to another episode of Twimmel Talk, the podcast where I interview interesting people doing interesting things in machine learning and artificial intelligence. I'm your host, Sam Charrington. Hey everyone, we are quickly closing in on the event we've all been waiting for, TwimmelCon AI Platforms, now just under a month away. We have seen plenty of folks take advantage of our early registration discount. And if you've been planning to do so, but summer or procrastination got the best of you, you are running out of time. Early registration for TwimmelCon ends this Friday, which means ticket prices jump from $5.99 to $7.49 once the weekend starts. Don't miss out on the opportunity to save $150 on your registration, and whatever you do, don't miss the opportunity to join us at TwimmelCon to learn, share, and connect with your peers working to automate, accelerate, and scale machine learning and deep learning in your organizations. Visit TwimmelCon.com/register to register. And if you have any questions about the event, we'll be available right there via chat to answer them for you. Hope to see you soon. All right, everyone. I am on the line with Latta Branson. Latta is a scientific researcher at Sci Sports. Latta, welcome to This Week in Machine Learning and AI.
Oh, thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to chatting with you. You are in the enviable position of having combined a couple of your life's passions. You've been playing soccer since the age of five, and now you get to study it and apply machine learning to the analysis of that sport and others as well. Or are you primarily focused on soccer right now?
I'm just focused on soccer right now. Yeah.
So how did this all come to be?
Well, as you already mentioned, I played soccer my whole my life, and I did a bachelor's in mathematics. And while I was studying, I found out of this company called Sci Sports that was was combining mathematics and soccer to get insights in what players clubs should buy. So then I contacted the company, and the company back then was just run by three students. It was just the beginning of the company. It's around 5 years ago, and I kept in contact. I worked there like one day a week. And then I started doing my master's in econometrics. And at the end of my master's, I could work at the company as a scientific researcher. So that's how it all started.
And the company's based in Amsterdam?
It's based in, it started in Enschede. It's like in the east of the country. Okay. But we have a very small country. So that's around 2 hours from Amsterdam.
Okay.
We also have an office in Amersfoort right now. That is like in the middle of the Netherlands.
And from the time you started working there when it was just the three students, it's grown to what now?
To around 50 people right now. So in just 6 years, big growth.
Talk a little bit about, before we dive into the specific paper that we'll be speaking about, talk a little bit about kind of your general area of research there.
Yeah, so we at Sci Sports, we help multiple different clients, but our main focus is on the recruitment part for clubs. So, all clubs want to find new players for their teams, and that's where we help. And in our team, our data analytics team, we build new models, mainly using machine learning, to get insights from this data that we get. And that's how we help the clubs. And we have like an online platform where our clients can find around 90,000 players from all over the world and can find their strengths and weaknesses. And that's how we help them.
Okay. What are some of the main data sources that you have access to for the various analytics that you do?
Yeah, we got access to match event data, as it is called. We get this from our partner, Wisecout. And this data that is manually annotated, like for every action that occurs on the pitch. So in a pass, a dribble, a cross, it's all annotated which player performs this action from where to where or what time in the match. And that's the kind of data that we deal with daily.
Okay, and so the data is
kind of a set of time series events, or?
Yeah, it is.
And are there other data source providers that are doing things with more imagery or video based data, or is that not prevalent in soccer yet?
It is. We have a part of our company is working on that. We have a special team. It's called the Bo James team, and they're working on the scanner system, which currently hangs in three stadiums. And that is like using this computer vision to track the players and the ball at each moment, each time in the game. So that's also what we're doing. So we're also collecting data, but my team is primarily focused on event data for the clubs. Because, to scout players, you have to know a lot about all these players around the world. And this video data is not yet provided for a lot of leagues. So that's why.
Oh, makes sense. So the paper that we are going to dig into is one that you presented earlier this year at the Sloan Sports Analytics Conference. It's called Choke or Shine: Quantifying Soccer Players' Ability to Perform Under Mental Pressure. Tell us a little bit about the motivations for this paper.
Yeah, so, it's about quantifying what it says, the soccer players' abilities to perform under mental pressure. And what we actually wanted to do is, we saw there's a lot of research in soccer analytics currently. It's growing fastly, but there's never any research quantitatively done about how players perform under mental pressure. And I've also, as a soccer player myself, I also feel this pressure sometimes. So it's actually how we came with this topic. Yeah, so we wanted to measure the performance of these players when the pressure is getting high. So we had access to the data for this, and that's actually how we started this research. And we did a collaboration with two people from the KU Leuven, Peter and Jesse, and another colleague of mine, Jan. We did this research.
And is applying some kind of machine learning or analytics to mental pressure, is that something that you've seen done in other fields? Is it prevalent in some other fields and it's something you're trying to bring to soccer, or is it something that we don't really do a lot of now in sports?
It is. It has been investigated in some other sports, but not extensively yet. So I think it's still a field that needs to be investigated more. We also want to do more in research to this. And we've spoken to quite some mental coaches that work at different clubs, and they always tell us that they have it's hard for them to show like the improvement of certain players on certain aspects of the mental game. Mm-hmm. And I think in soccer, in all sports, it's very important that the mentality is correct, so that you can perform under mental pressure, because that's when the points are being made. So
And so, how are you in your research defining mental pressure, and how are you characterizing it in the games that you're looking at?
Yeah, so actually, what we did, we defined two aspects of mental pressure. So the pre-game pressure and the in-game pressure. So you can imagine that before a game starts, there's already some pressure on certain games. For example, when you're playing a game for a championship, like in the Premier League, I think it was 10 years ago, something like that, maybe a bit less, when City and United, Manchester City and United, both could be the champions. Then the pressure is getting high. And we also investigated in-game mental pressure, and that's based on an in-game win probability model. So at each point in time, we predict the win probability for both of the teams. And when when a goal has been scored, when this in-game win probability will change a lot, then we say like the pressure is high. So for example, when it's like a 1-1 in the last minute, then the pressure is really high, because when you score a goal, this will mainly change the winner of the game. But when there's already a 3-0 score on the board, then it doesn't matter anymore.
And so you've kind of characterized games by this low pressure, high pressure, or at least the pregame is the pressure is at the level of the game, but the in-game, that's an attribute you're applying to the games. Is it minute by minute or event by event? Or I guess it's just whenever the score changes?
Yeah, so that's actually whenever the choice. It's actually minute by minute.
Okay.
So it's, so when the score changes, it will immediately affect this model. And it takes into account like the current score, also like whether red cards, yellow cards, and the kind of stuff. And also like when a team is attacking a lot, they will also account for that in the win, in-game win probability model. So yeah, that's it. And like for the pre-game model, it's like a fixed a set number per game. Yeah. And those two combined make like the pressure at a certain event in a game.
Okay. And so you've got the pressure on the one hand, and you're trying to use that to predict what?
So we actually have the pressure on the one hand, and on the other hand, we have actually three performance metrics. So we, for every action that we have, so this pass, a pass or a dribble, we compute three things. So the contribution of this action. So by contribution, we mean the increase in scoring a goal in the near future. So actually for every action, we compute the value of the game before the action and after the action. And the difference in those two makes the contribution of an action. And next to that, we also measure the decision, the quality of the decision and the quality of the execution. And those three, for those three values, we can see like how does a player perform. But when the pressure is like in a normal state, when it's getting high and when it's getting lower. And this is more like for descriptive analysis of all those players.
This contribution element, it sounds like that's saying that at a given time in the game, given all of the player positions and some event that just happened, you're able to come up with some metric that captures kind of the relative advantage of the different teams. That in and of itself sounds like a hard problem.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so we that was actually how this all started. So I think a year before this paper, we worked on a model to measure these contributions for all the players. So this what it actually does is for each game state, that's how we call it. So every game state is like characterized by all the actions that have been played until then, the position of the player with the ball, the time in the match, the score difference. And for every game state, we predict the chance that within 10 actions, a goal is being scored by the one team. So it's actually like a binary classification problem. And we also, on the other hand, we also predict the chance that the other team will score within 10 actions. And in this way, we can measure like for every action, we can measure the offensive and, on the other hand, the defensive contribution. So, for example, when a player passes the ball from his own half to his striker, this will have like a very high contribution, offensive contribution. But on the other hand, if you intercept the ball in your own box, you will also have a high defensive contribution. And that's what we first worked on. And this is also something that we already show to our clients. And they can find like players that have like, for example, high pass contribution. And we can easily spot talents before others do.
With that original work on contribution, okay, I guess a couple of questions there. One, when you're looking at player position, like, do you quantize that in some way, or is it kind of continuous position in the field?
You mean like, but position? You mean
where the player is with the ball?
Okay, yeah.
Or and do you even look at where the players are that don't have the ball?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's one of the disadvantages of the event data. So with this event data, we only have all the actions that happen with the ball. So we have the passes, the dribbles, but we don't know where all the other 21 players are.
Yeah.
So that's that is.
Did you call that an advantage or a disadvantage?
Disadvantage. Okay. Yeah. Disadvantage, sorry. Yeah.
Advantage because it makes your problem easier. But
I would really love to have this data as well.
Yeah.
But we currently don't have that. But we also captured. Well, we tried to capture this by adding information about the attack. So we we add information about the speed of the game. So so in the soccer, like you have quite a lot of counterattacks. So you know, like when the game moved fast or the ball moved fast to the other half, then we know like this is a different situation than when it was a very slow attack. So that's the kind of things that we try to account for. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we don't have these all these locations now.
Yeah, yeah, it does seem like there is potentially an interesting element of player contribution that is, you know, being in the right place at the right time can't be captured in your current model. Yeah.
That's true. But we're also looking at where a player receives the ball, and that mm-hmm. also already tells a lot about his positioning.
Okay.
But it's also, yeah. So if he often receives the ball in the opponent's box, that says a lot about his positioning we've seen.
And so back to that positioning question, are you... Like, do you kind of split the field up into zones or, you know, meter by meter squares or something like that? Or are you using kind of absolute positioning?
We get it like in meter by meter. That's actually also what we use in the... So actually how the, it's annotated as like 100 by 100 pitch. And then we normalize it to like the normal pitch sizes in Europe or in like I think overall the world. So that's how we use it. So it's kind of meter by meter, yeah.
All right. So you've got this contribution data, and that becomes that's another one of the inputs to your choke or shine model. Actually, is it the contribution that's trying to predict whether a point will be scored in 10? Actions, or is that
that's a contribution. So actually that's the contribution is the difference in scoring a goal before your action and after your action.
Ah, got it.
So so for example, if you have it on your own half, the chance of scoring a goal within 10 actions will be very low, and then if it after the action is higher, then it's the difference between those. And if you lose the ball, you get negative contribution ratings.
And so then you're taking this in as an input and then using this to, I'm trying to get back to the choke or shine model. How does contribution play into the mental pressure model?
So what we actually do is we investigate the moments in which we investigate what a normal contribution is for a certain player. So in that way, we can identify the talents, for example. So we did this for the MLS. For example, we saw that let me see the names, Alfonso Davies and Barco and Adams, Tyler Adams, were in like in the 2018 season, were like the players with the highest contribution ratings in the MLS. So what we actually do, we have these contribution ratings per action. And if we then sum up all these ratings for a certain player, and then we normalize this per 90 minutes of play, then we can actually say like what is his average contribution for a game. And then when we looked at, for example, Alfonso Davies, when the pressure was normal, he belongs to the best players in the league. But actually, when the pressure is getting high, he belongs to like more like an average player, even below average.
Okay.
So that was kind of the insight that we were looking for. To see like how do players perform when this pressure is normal or high or low. So actually we binned the pressure levels that we had in like three bins, and that's how we identified this. And because we saw like, okay, we see this contribution is changing, but we also wanted to know like, why is this changing? And then we came up with the idea like, okay, the contribution rating of a player, it depends actually on two things. So contribution of an action depends actually on the choice that you made and also on how you execute this action. So the choice can be to play the ball to your striker as a defender, but if you don't execute it well, you will never get a high contribution. And on the other hand, if you make a wrong choice, but you execute the action in a good way, then it also will not give you a high contribution rating. So that's what we're kind of looking for. So to see why these ratings are changing for certain players. So that's actually what we did. And we also looked into more like tactical analysis. So, for example, Manchester United, they tend to dribble less dribble more when the pressure is getting high, but actually their contribution from the dribbles is decreasing. So they're choosing to dribble, then it's not a good decision to do that. So that's kind of the insight that we were looking at.
And so were you able to arrive at the, you know, decision-making and execution as, were these outputs of this model or were these inputs to the model?
Those are like inputs to the complete model, yeah. So these are also based on the data that we got, yeah.
So you have this data that's telling you if a pass is made, and then is execution just telling you if the pass was completed or if it was not completed? And so does it, it doesn't really take into account defense contribution at all?
No, this is focused on well, on the difficulty of the action. So if you pass a long ball and you manage to succeed, you will get a higher execution rating. Mm-hmm. But also, like a tackle can also so tackle is defensive action. It can also be unsuccessful, or you can also make a foul in the in your own box. So it also does take into account defensive actions, but. Well, we know that that using event data, it's very hard to rate players on the defensive actions, because well, more things happen with the ball in offense. So that's hard. Yeah, that's one of the lacks of the data.
And is the data is it labeled or rated in terms of the intended target for a pass, or is it just that a pass happened and the next event is whether the, you know, if a pass was received or if someone intercepted it?
Yeah, that's actually, yeah, we know the end location of the pass, so we know the direction of it. And in that way, we can kind of predict where it was going to. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So we know the end location. Yeah.
All right. So tell us a little bit about the process of coming up with this model. How did you start and what were some of the things that you tried?
So, well, we actually started with like having lots of discussions and, well, thinking of how we wanted to measure this. So, well, as I said before, we worked together with two people from the Leuven University. So they visited us and, cause Leuven is in Belgium. So they visited us at Amersfoort at our office. And we had just had like 1 week just discussing, no programming, just discussing how we wanted to do this. And that's how we came up with the different models that we wanted to capture. And our main thing was we also wanted to try as much as possible and get see how far we got in all of those aspects. And we know like some things are hard to capture with the data that we have. So we first started with how to, we already had this contribution ratings. So we tried to improve those, train it on more data, try some different models for that. And the main focus was in the beginning on how to measure this mental pressure. So for the pregame mental pressure model, we wanted to, well, we needed some kind of ground truth to train this model. So that's why we talked to some soccer experts. That's how we call them. So soccer players, trainers, coaches, scouts from clubs. And we let them, we made like a tool where they could like rank games. And we gave them information about these games. So was it in the beginning of the season? What is the ranking of the league, what is the goal of the team, that kind of stuff. And then they could rank those teams. So it was like pairwise ranking. Mm-hmm. And we used this to train our pregame mental pressure model. So in this model, we make use of different features. So as I said before, the ranking of the team, how long the season is already being played. So where in the season are we? And also, like, on what spot are they? So if they are playing for a Europa League spot, then the pressure will be higher than when they are already relegated, for example. So that's actually how we started, by making this tool and collecting as much input as possible. Also talking to these people to ask them, what do you think is, like, important? When do you feel the pressure? That's actually how it started. And then we kept on improving.
And so with that, the pressure model, were you training against subjective labels of whether a game was high pressure or not?
Yeah, so actually the rank labels by our experts, yeah.
Okay. So that's the pressure model. And then what kind of model did you use for that?
So for the pre-game pressure model, we used gradient boosted ranking trees. And for the in-game mental pressure model, so for that model, we wanted to predict that every time, so every minute in the game, the sum of the goals, the number of goals that both teams would score, and then we could like predict the probabilities of win, draw, and loss. And for this model, we made use of the auto differentiation variational inference of pi MC3. And we trained this on all the data that we had up until the 2017-2018 season. That's actually how we trained these two models, and the combination of those two pressure models, so the in-game and the pre-game, makes us the pressure model.
How are those combined?
Yeah, so that's where we also had difficulty. Well, difficulty is like, it's very hard to, I think it's in many areas, but in sports it's kind of hard if you don't really have a ground truth. In the end we decided to multiply those two numbers. So it's the in-game and the pre-game. So when the pre-game pressure is high, but in the game it's quickly gets to a 3-0 score, so there's not really high pressure anymore, then the total pressure will be low as well. But we certainly wanted to do more investigation in this. We should just collect more information on that.
You mentioned some of the kind of surprising findings from looking at some of the MLS players. Were there any other kind of interesting surprises in when you started applying these results?
There were like lots of results that we, some that we also expected. For example, that Cristiano Ronaldo is like very constant under pressure. So it's not nothing new maybe, but it felt good to see this. But for Neymar, when he was still playing at Barcelona, his performance goes down under pressure. So then he's like more like an average player. Whilst when the pressure is lower, he belongs like to the best of the league. And then what we also find really interesting is that Liverpool tends to buy players that perform well under pressure. So that's actually just something that we found by accident, but it was interesting to see. So in their signings from the last three seasons, were all, except for Keita, they were all like performing way better under pressure than under low pressure. So that was interesting to see.
Do you think there's anything interesting in looking at kind of the overall team composition of players that perform better in low pressure versus high pressure? Are there any interesting ideas there?
Yeah, so we also looked at that. So we wanted to show as many applications as possible. Mm-hmm. So we looked at the defenders of Juventus, for example, and we saw that there are two players, Benacia and Bonucci, who like perform way better when the pressure is high, and like two others, Chiellini and Rugani, perform way worse under pressure. So this might help coaches to select the players to let them play in a certain match. So when you're playing like the Champions League final, you might choose Benatia over Chiellini. There's also some interesting insights in there.
So this then goes a bit beyond the kind of scouting use cases that you tend to focus on and could be something that is useful for tactical planning by coaches?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we also we started focusing on the scouting, but we're currently also like doing other stuff for clubs. So we help them, for example, with the opponent analysis. So finding the weaknesses and the strengths of their opponents. For example, at the previous World Cup, the Men's World Cup, I must say, we helped the Belgium team analyzing their opponents. And they came until the semifinals, so that was nice as well. So that's also where this could be very helpful, yeah. And what I said before, also for mental coaches that want to show the staff how their progress is with certain players, it's also very helpful to have something to measure this. So it could be used for many things, yeah.
You certainly learned a lot about the kind of the application of some of these models to this problem, but were there any interesting kind of fundamental learnings or observations on the part of you or your team about applying these kinds of models to the kinds of data that you're applying it to?
It was interesting to see that there are differences between certain players, but I think definitely we need to investigate more whether we can also like make it more like a predictive thing to predict the performance of players in the future. So we're looking into that right now. I think the main insight is that there's lots of research to be done still in this field, that we are able to capture certain things, to capture contributions of players in a better way than just looking at the number of goals scored. Because in soccer, there's like on average just two goals per game. So it definitely doesn't always say that the one team was better than the other. We found some interesting insights in there.
Where did you find the most challenges from a technical perspective?
Good question. it was really hard to get the in-game win probability model working well. I think also like it's the hard thing is to get this ground truth in soccer. That's what we have to deal with. We don't have the locations of the other players, so that was for the decision rating model very hard as well. So I think that's what from a technical side was hard to get it all working in a good way. Mm-hmm. And I think also. Not just from a technical side, but one of the problems is, I think, to get this message across to people from the industry, from the soccer world.
So the applicability of machine learning and analytics in general, or the specifically around looking at mental pressure?
I think in general, but like especially in mental pressure, the mental aspect of the game, of analyzing the mental aspect is very new in most sports, and then also like using data for that is like for people in the soccer industry, that's maybe a bit too early right now.
Right.
But So we tried to inform them how they could use this. So that's also what we're investigating right now, how we can best present this to the users.
I should have asked this earlier, but I'm assuming that kind of the testing of your models was done against kind of held out data. How do you test this against kind of real world scenarios? Have you done any of that?
Yeah, so for example, all of the models we used like 3 seasons of data for that, like to train the models, to validate it on another season, and then the results were presented on the season that we didn't train or validate it on. So for example, for the contribution rating aspect, we have the ground truth. It's our the label is. When a goal is being scored within 10 actions, the label will be 1 and the otherwise 0. So that's how we train that model. Mm-hmm. And for the others, for the pressure model, as explained, we used the ranking provided by the experts to get that one working.
Very good. Well, Lotta, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us about your paper. It's really interesting stuff.
Yeah, thanks. I enjoyed it.
All right, everyone, that's our show for today. For more information on Lotta or any of our other guests, visit twimmelai.com. Be sure to register for TwimmelCon AI platforms now before prices go up this Saturday, September 7th. As always, thanks so much for listening and catch you next time.